This is 307 Net Info, connecting community.
$5 would help us out. We have to rent rooms, we do printed material, and you know, cost us money. So anything you could do to support us would be great. We would greatly appreciate it. And this is one of our monthly meetings, but since we have a speaker tonight, I'm going to bypass all of Robert's rules and all the reports and everything. But if any of the members would like to know what their reports are as far as our financial status and stuff, please see us after the meetings, full transparency with us. We do have a couple of Facebook pages now that are functioning. I'd like to get you active on those, please, and like those and spread them and share them and spread the word about what we're doing. And we'll be posting information and stuff that's going on in the legislature and stuff that's going on in the city and the county. What are you waving at me?
The
laser. Oh, yeah. We have, thank you. We got all kinds of new stuff that we're handing out. So we have that sheet in the back on the table that has our contact information on it and our Facebook page information on it. But it also has the phone numbers and the email addresses of every one of your elected officials that's pertinent to Johnson County. So we have the state senators, Barrasso and Hagman. Yes. And then we have our locals, the state rep, which is Marilyn Connolly, and Mary Kringle, and all our city officials, to make it easy for you to have your voice heard. Because we encourage that, and that's the only way that we can make change in our legislators and get their attention, is to be informed and active. So we encourage everyone to do that. And we also have another sign-up page in the back that is not the email sign-up, that is at the back table. That sign-up page is if you want to be on our email list just to get notifications for our meetings, but we'll not send you anything else except notifications for our events. That's it. If you would like to start getting notices of things that we are focusing on around our county and the state and what's going on in the legislature, we have a separate email list that's not out. Didn't want to confuse the two. That if you would like to get those extra notices, please sign up for that, because I do not want to send emails out if you do not want to get them. I will respect that. Totally. Because I don't like that. We have some standing committees that we need people to volunteer for, because we do have a lot of events scheduled this year and we can need boots on the ground and hands on the table. So if you'd be willing to help us out and physically help us out, that would be great. We're a growing and burgeoning organization, and we are looking for members and active memberships. And even though it's not an election year, there's a lot going on with our county, as you'll find out tonight. And things always come up throughout the year, even though it's not, like I said, an election year. And as we all know, that's one of the things about the Republican Party that we've been failing at over the years. So we'll have an election, we'll vote, we'll get some Republicans in, and then we go, good, we're covered, and we walk away. And that's how we've gotten where we are right now. And the Republican women, this organization, we are not going to drop the ball on that. We're going to be as active as we possibly can in our community. and influencing our legislators and informing, educating, and engaging. That's part of our mission statement. So that's what we're all about. I'm going to run through, we have two guest speakers tonight, Hope Dennis, who's with the Legislative Action Committee. She's going to be giving us a quick rundown in just a couple minutes. And then Chris Williams is going to be our keynote speaker tonight and talk about the audits in Johnson County and what's going on with that, because that's a mess. It's a big, fat mess, and I'll just say that out loud. So, legislature. It's kind of early on right now to be talking a lot about the bills because they haven't had time to really move on anything, seriously. The process, just real quick, simplistic. A bill gets introduced in the House. The House has to vote, correct me if I get this wrong, anything. The vote has to present it, it has to go to a committee. The committee does what they want to it, amend it, rewrite it, mess it up, improve it, whatever they do with it, comes back to the floor. If the floor votes it through, they all agree three times. And then if it gets passed after the third vote, it goes to the Senate. The same thing happens over in the Senate. Then it comes back to the House, and then everybody has to agree on it. So we're only 2 weeks in. There's a few bills that have actually made it third reading, and I have that list right here just for the sake of information. The ones that have made it past the third reading in the House so far are the Election Integrity Bill, elimination of woke DEI policies, the ban of ESG investing, immigration accountability, property tax relief, defending women, and homeschool freedoms. And those are, to get those bills through in the first couple weeks is amazing. So I want to actually give the Freedom Caucus a lot of kudos for really focusing on this and hitting the ground running and doing what they said they were going to do with their five and dime.
And repeal the gun-free zones.
And repeal the gun-free zone. Thank you.
We got through to
it. You got it, did?
Through the House.
Yep, excellent. Excellent. So, given that, a couple things I want to talk about. Oh, let's talk about so we've had votes. We've had voting so far. And I, for one, am kind of disappointed in the way the voting has gone with our elected representative. Marilyn Connelly voted no on four or five very important bills that came up right in the very beginning. And they were the ID for the illegal immigrants and that whole controversial thing. She voted no on that, so there's no recourse for that. If I remember correctly, and please don't hold me to this, I think she said she was worried about enforcement on that.
How would it be implemented?
How would you implement it? How would you enforce it? How would you make it? But still, I think it's something worth following through. I think we should have that, but that's just my personal humble opinion. She also voted down the homeowner's 50% deduction, and she voted down on the DEI initiative. So not a good record so far coming right out of the gate. I don't have anything really to say about any of Barry's votes. I don't think they've been too very controversial. But we'll see how it goes. So if you are interested in any of the voting and how it's the bills are moving through the House, a great resource is wildledge.gov. And if you go there and hit on the legislative tab, it will give you all the bills, where they're at, what they're about, who sponsored them, who's voting, and all that stuff. And you need more information, we'll be more than happy to share that with you. But it's very, very important to stay informed about what's going on. There's several property tax bills that are going through the process. All of them are very weak. They're not really even band-aids. And most of them have a sunset. And this is what a lot of people don't understand, because I don't talk about this. Nobody mentions this because they don't want you to know this. But most of these property tax bills have a sunset, even the ones that have passed already. And sunset means that they're only in effect for a couple of years. So they passed a 50% tax deduction. It's good for 2 years. They passed this other one that was good for 2 years. And they're not talking about that. So even though we have some property tax reform bills that got passed and they're working on them right now, in another 2 years, we're going to be right back in the same spot, battling to get our property taxes fixed. It's a systemic problem in the system entitled 29 is the property tax? Is it Title 29? Whatever. The overall tax code in the state of Wyoming needs a complete overhaul. And these little 2-year respites we're getting out of the legislature is not going to do that. So we need to really hold their feet to the fire in Cheyenne to get permanent reform and change in our property tax. I did want to remind everybody of this, however. There was a bill that passed last year, and it's a 2-year bill, sunsets in 26, but it's a 50% reduction in your assessed value of your home if you're over 65 and you've paid property taxes in the state of Wyoming for 25 years. If that is you, you need to go down to the courthouse, fill out a form, and you will get a 50% reduction in the assessed value of your home for this year and next year. For this year and next year. No caveats, no income, no restrictions. If you're 65 or older and have paid taxes on property for 25 years in Wyoming, need to tell everybody you know about that.
And that has a 2-year sunset on it as well?
Mm-hmm. So it's only good for the year 24 if you file it out before May and 26.
Is that consecutive 25 years? I mean, like if I left the state for 3 years?
Oh, I do not know the answer to that.
I believe it's on that residence.
So
it's on that house.
Oh, we own one house?
It's consecutive on the same house.
I believe it's on the home they're currently in.
Well, I called the assessor's office today, and I think she said if you pay property taxes in the state of Wyoming on a residence.
Yeah.
Our tax assessor's office is actually very nice and very informative and easy to work with, I found, for me, anyway. And just call them up and ask them questions about that. They're more than happy to help you fill this paper out. They're pretty good. A couple of things that are not legislatively related that I'd like to mention is that Chuck Gray, our Secretary of State, the ballot box that... voting machines, the hand counts and all that controversy, there's a lot going on with that right now in the state. And one of the things I read today, which just floored me, is that, the County Clerks Association of Wyoming is fighting back hard against this, and Chuck, our Secretary of State, says it is not by statute that we have ballot boxes. And they're slinging mud, talking to each other. And the end sentence, the end paragraph in this article I read is the president, Malcolm Irvin, of the County Clerks Association said the Clerks Association doesn't have a stance on this bill. And yet he spent the last 20 minutes talking against it. So, but we need to get rid of the ballot boxes, and we need to tell our legislators and our governor to stop fighting, removing the ballot boxes, and going back to a hand count. We've got to keep that at the forefront of in their face. A little aside on the nuclear plant down in Kemmerer, it got permitted, and they're starting construction on non-nuclear construction, and they're planning on several more across the state of Wyoming and the U.S., so something to keep an eye on. I don't agree with that, but here we go. Gordon does. There we are. One of the other things that drives me crazy, because it's going to segue into a lot of other things, is that they are negotiating with the wind energy companies to store used turbines in our abandoned coal mines in Wyoming, which will ruin the coal mines forever. Forever. They'll never be able to be recommissioned. And it's going to be a gateway and an opening for Wyoming to be a nuclear waste storage state for all of the United States. And that's what they want. That's what they're working for. That's part of the big picture in this nuclear plant. So that's something that we'll be keeping our eye on and keeping you informed on. Right now, what's happening in the legislature is the big information right now that's going around. Did I have one more thing? Oh, there's one bill that Sherry Steinmetz, who is one of our senators, I love this bill. I don't think it's going to go anywhere, but I loved it. It is the Make Carbon Dioxide Great Again bill. And because it's just a big fat hoax and millions, billions of dollars being wasted. But I don't know if that's going to go anywhere or not. I just liked it. I liked that she did that. So unless you got any other questions, I'm going to... let me say this. Next month, when some of these bills start getting tossed back and forth and there's debate and all that, we'll have a much more, a lot more information to tell you about what's going on. But right now, I said we're kind of early on in the stages. So I'm going to let Hope Dennis come up and give you a legislative report. And while she's making her way up here, I forgot to do the Pledge of Allegiance when we started. So it's waving around and playing with the flag, which I should have been. I try.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you.
You didn't forget it, you just re-agended it.
Thank you. Thanks for not judging.
I'm on the action alert committee in Sheridan, and so I'm the lead person for this county. And we do a lot of research, there's quite a few of us in different areas. I'm ag, nuclear, and marijuana.
Is this, shouldn't it be ag, marijuana, then nuclear?
Yeah.
What a combination.
There are these. This will have the bill. We don't take up every single bill. I'm also on the executive committee. We decide, is it worth fighting for that? Because there are so many. There's going to be like 700 bills or more. This session, so your head just explodes after a while. And so we're looking at people that are doctors, lawyers, geologists, I'm agriculture, and quite a wide range, so we can research the bill and decide is it good or bad, because they can do some pretty sneaky stuff in it. So this is the House bill, and what you see below here are the reasons to support or not support a particular bill. So it kind of gives you an idea of what...
You may hand them out to
us. Yes, please. Did you read these out? And then I also did it for the Senate.
And we'll just take it out.
And you can go on the website that looks like this, YOWYOLEG, and it'll come up wanting your email, but you can click through that. And it has, under legislation, it has 2025 bills. Because some of these bills are already over in the Senate, and I don't think we have anything from the Senate over to the House. So, as you look through it, you can see where we say yes or no. Now, sometimes you'll find that we change because it could get amended in the House after we've already decided it's a good bill. The amendment would be bad, and now we'll go, oh, shoot, now it's going to be a bad bill. And if you get on, you're sending out action alerts, aren't you?
Anybody wants them, yeah.
And it can be overwhelming at times, but it has the headliner as to what the bill is about. So if it's an area that you're not interested in, then just delete it. But we're trying to get the word out so that you contact your legislatures, and like you said, Conway is already on the bad track. Craig has shown a few little wobbles, but we'll see how that goes.
I've got an extra house one.
Yeah. I don't think I gave you one. I mean, the house.
The house. Mm-hmm. had quite a few fields that were just monitoring, and that's like foreign investment near infrastructures, foreign investment period. Some of those bills have been so weak this time that we're just kind of like, we'll just monitor and decide how they go. And then we've got some other bills in education. There's one that's put up a pretty big fight right now, and that is having teachers that are not certified being able to teach. And there's pros and cons on that. And basically what it is if they have a person that's in industry that can go in and teach a class in business or in mathematics, and they don't have a teaching degree, they would be able to do that if that bill goes through. So it's not just taking people off the street to...
And that's what they're trying to couch it as. Yeah. I read something today that said they were, the WEA, the Wyoming Education Association, and they're saying that they're just going to bring anybody in off the streets and put them behind the podium at the school, and that is not true. They're doing a vetting process with, like she said, professionals that can teach, because we've got such a lack of the teachers in the state.
And junior colleges have been doing that for years.
Yes.
Taking people from business or different industries kind of doing that. The other, the big sneaky thing that's in my area is the hemp regulations, and basically it's a bill that if they vote for it, it's legalized marijuana, basically. The other bill,
Did you say the big stinky thing?
You caught that?
Unintended?
Just a bit sneaky. The other one is making cannabis, the arrest on that, how do you put that? It's not a big deal to get arrested with cannabis. Well, that's kind of going into the other. Those two things are really bad.
Well, you mean the difference between a misdemeanor and a felony?
Yeah.
But how are they putting hemp and cannabis together? They're two different things.
Yeah, they're two different things.
It's the same.
That's
the same
not,
thing.
No, it's not.
Well, that's what they're doing.
Hemp they build all kinds of things out of, and I know... They went through that thing because hemp, you can grow it. It's something that it's an agricultural crop, and there's a lot of things you can do with it. It's not about smoking it.
But
or even
if you read the bill, it's talking about what's it?
Are they mixing the two together?
Yes, they are.
Okay, that's
which is a bad
thing. They're hoping that people won't read the bill and they'll.
Well, hemp's already legal.
Hemp.
And why?
Yeah, hemp's already legal.
Yeah,
but they want they're doing all these other. Things in that bill that
you know, why would they mix those two together because it's two different things?
Because
it's a speaking of bombing, I hope they would call it super hemp.
Is that what they're calling a super hemp?
Yeah. I don't know. I mean,
if you
agree hemp, you can pretty much get to the marijuana. Your dad's marijuana. You could probably get them to be your dad's marijuana except that no marijuana.
Yeah, it's 100% stronger. The strength of it, even in the commercial marijuana, and the other thing that in my research that the marijuana, the legal ones, 25% of them are failing because they cannot compete with the black market, and the black market is adding fentanyl. That's not regulated, and all of the other stuff. There's a place in San Francisco, manufacturer for the cigarettes and the vaping, and they're really jacked up how strong those things are.
It's amazing.
I mean, it's just...
So they're just trying to slide it through.
Yeah, exactly. And then on the nuclear energy, that one that they're putting down, Kimmer, was about 4 years ago on my research. There were plants exactly like that, the sodium type plants built in France. They started leaking after about 8 years.
Oh, God.
And then they tried putting pipes around them, and because sodium is so corrosive, after 10 years, that's all, they lasted. They shut them all down. So that's
And isn't that the one that Craigo talked to us about at the meeting?
Yeah. Oh, that's what they're putting in her.
That's what they're putting in her. But he said he wouldn't be afraid to have his kids around it.
Well, he can move down there then. And that's the other thing. They know it's going to fail. And the other, the meeting where I testified, they said that the Tarot Power would be paying the state so much a kilowatt hour. And in that committee meeting, Tarot Power told them, no, we're not doing that. This is experimental, so we don't owe you any money. We're going to take all the income from that.
It's a one of the descriptive terms they dropped off of it, dropped from it the past year, is that it's a prototype. It's not proven. It's never been done on this scale.
Well, I think he was asked that too at that meeting, and he was like, "Oh yeah, it's fine.
Yeah,
yeah,
no,
it's never been done on this scale before.
It was going to make them money.
Could make somebody a lot of money.
It's us. It might be a prototype for power, but." No, France has already done it, closed it down after 10 years. So, and how long is it going to take to build it? The number one thing they want is because they cannot use Nevada as a dump site anymore. Utah's full. New Mexico had a big fight.
They're refusing it.
And so they're looking at us because there's very few people here, so it's a dump site. Any other questions? It's kind of a lot to take in. And I think my name is and number's on the list. If you have any questions, you know, give me a call. But staying informed is really important to get a hold of these people that are going to be voting.
Real quick, if you would like these weekly reports from the LAC, the Legislative Action Committee, put your name on an email list in the back, and they'll look, the emails you get will look pretty much like this report here. It's a brief synopsis, and whether they're supporting it or not, and then contact information for you to contact your representatives on it, or your senators. So it's a really good resource to have, and if you don't want to even get involved, it's just to be informed. So without further ado, like Chris Williams to come up here and give us his presentation.
I wouldn't call it a presentation, but.
And if you kindly stay on this side.
Yeah. All right. So don't walk too much.
Don't walk too much.
So thank you to Cynthia and Laura for having me. Hopefully this will be a good good use of your time to understand where we are in the process with the petition that we filed back in October against Johnson County and the Department of Audit, specifically around how Johnson County has been spending their money over the last 5+ years. When I was first asked to do this a couple months ago, we weren't sure if the weather was going to be good, so fortunately we got pretty lucky with the weather, so I'm glad to be here. I'm going to take about 10 minutes to kind of give you guys about a 20-month history of how we got to where we are today. And then I'm going to take about 10 or 15 minutes to actually take you through the 10 counts that are in the petition. And then I'll take a few minutes to talk to you guys about what's going to be happening this coming Friday. So the other good thing about talking to you guys tonight is that the timing was perfect in terms of where we are in the process of taking the Department of Audit and the Johnson County Commissioners to court. Okay, so the journey actually started almost 2 years ago, April of 2023. And we're now in what, almost February of 2025. So in April 2023, Amy and I moved here a couple of years before that, so we've been here about 4.5 years, so we were about 2 years into our journey in Wyoming. Everybody was talking about property taxes. Why are property taxes going up? Why are they so high? Why are they going up every year? And my background is in finance and economics, so all that to say, I'm pretty good with numbers, and was looking at the numbers and didn't really see anything in particular, but I wanted to learn more about property taxes in Wyoming. So at the end of April 2023, I sent a note to the treasurer of Johnson County and said, can you send me the income statements and balance sheets and audits for Johnson County for the last years, just so I can start learning this and understand what, where do property taxes come from, who pays them, where do they go, all that kind of stuff. A few weeks into that, we got called in the courthouse by one of the prosecuting attorneys for Johnson County and the clerk and the treasurer. They wanted to know why we were asking for all the information. So we went to the courthouse and told them that I was just trying to learn about property taxes. It was really nothing more than trying to understand it for my own self-satisfaction. I had no agenda, no intent. Nothing was in the back of my mind. Fast forward a few more days, I actually did a couple of presentations to anybody in Johnson County that wanted to learn what I had learned about property taxes and was starting to learn through that process how money was processed in Johnson County, etc. Early June of 2023, I started looking for no particular reason towards the end of the audits. So these audits are about 120 pages. And typically they always put the good stuff at the back. And I wasn't looking for any good stuff, I was just looking for property taxes. Well, there was a lot of interesting stuff at the end of the audits in terms of how money was being spent, how it was not following Wyoming state law. So looked at that a little bit more. I sent an email to the director of the Department of Audit. This guy runs a 100-person division within the state of Wyoming. And as a part of that question, I said, here's all the things I noticed in the audits. Is this normal? Are you guys doing anything? Can you help me understand this? Again, being new to Wyoming, was just trying to understand and seek information. Towards the end of June, I finally got an answer from one of his direct reports. And his direct report basically said, nothing to see here, move along. Like I said, my background is finance and economics, and I did 26 years in retail financial services consulting. So again, I understand numbers, I know what I was looking at. I know what I was looking at was not right. And let me qualify that. I looked at 2021 and 22. 2021, 2022. And as I was looking at those years, it was the same series of events year after year. So I then got my hands on 17, 18, and 19 just to see, okay, does this go back even farther? And it did. So I was like, well, this is just kind of weird. So surely the Department of Audit would know what's going on, and they're tracking it, and they're following up on it, blah, blah, blah. Well, that response that I got in June of 2023, the guy basically said, nothing to see here, move along. I said, no, that's not how I work. I think they even told him it was probably one of the best non-answers in the history of non-answers of the world. So we're not doing this. I'm here to understand, is this normal? What do y'all do? What do you do? How do you work through these issues that are in the audits? So that was like June 27th. June 28th, I get an email back from that same guy, and he said, me and the director would like to drive from Cheyenne to your house in Buffalo and meet you in person. So we went from 24 hours before, nothing to see here, to the head of the Department of Audit and one of his direct reports are gonna drive all the way to Buffalo to meet me, somebody they've never met in person. So I found that very interesting. Why would they be interested in meeting with me in person? That ended up, so that took place into June. Yeah, the whole summer went by. We finally met on, I think it was August 10th of 2023. So they drive up, we meet in person, it's about a 3-hour meeting. I learned all sorts of stuff about how the Department of Water works, where their money goes, how they process things. There were two primary quotes from that meeting. Number one, the director said, yes, Johnson County has an issue with what are called internal controls, basically how money is processed within the organization. And a lack of internal controls increases the risk of fraud, which I kind of knew, but it was good to have the director say that. And all this was recorded on tape. The director knew it was being recorded. And then the second thing that happened in that meeting out of the 3 hours was his direct report saying, had I known today, or had I known in June what I heard today, I would not have sent you that email that I sent you back in June. Okay, good. So that was end of August. So the director walked out of my house and said, we're going to go talk to the third-party auditor. And we're going to better understand what's going on here. Along the way, I started doing research on the different Wyoming statutes around how money is to be processed in the state. Mid-September comes along, and I've not heard from them, which is fine. I know things like this take a while, but I reached out to the director and said, hey, just checking in, where is everything? And the response back was, hey, we met with the auditor. We want to set up a time and follow up with you and let you know what we found out. So that meeting happened at the end of September. So we're now 5 months into this journey, from learning about property taxes to internal controls increasing the risk of fraud in Johnson County. So we met on the phone for an hour. He shared with me some of the things what he learned from the auditor. But he also left the meeting saying, we're going to go to the Attorney General and share some of the things we've learned with the Attorney General to figure out what we should do next. Okay, cool. So that was end of September. A week later, I just checked in and said, hey, how's it going with the Attorney General? Have you set up the meeting with the Attorney General yet? No response to that meeting, or no response to that email that I sent them at the end of October. Chose to wait a couple more months, checked in with them again early December of 2023. What's going on? And we met with the Attorney General. Zero response. So by that time, I started to learn enough about the different statutes and had become convicted enough that something needs to happen. Somebody needs to look into what's going on. And if there's logical explanations for it, fine. I'm not presuming that anybody at that point in time had done anything that required anything, but as we started listing out the counts that are in the petition, you kind of start to realize more work needs to be done looking at how the money in Johnson County is being spent. So that was about 8 months into the process. From January of 2024 up through basically the summer of last year, started working with an attorney to start drawing up a list of counts and trying to figure out, can or should anything be done to look into this more? And I don't presume to be the legal expert in the room, but there's a series of potential options we could have chosen. And what we took, the process we took was requesting of a judge to do what's called a declaratory judgment on the list of counts that we put in front of her. So basically, she can look at them, and then based on whatever information we provide to her, she can then decide, is there guilt or no guilt, and what powers does she have to enlist potential options or things that can be followed up on. So basically, we took a petition for declaratory judgment. For those of you who read the article at the end of October when the petition first made its way to the Department of Audit and to the commissioners, they said we were suing the county, implying that we're looking for money. We're not looking for money. We just want somebody to look at the list of counts and say yes or no. People have either violated or not violated those counts. And then if there's any recourse relative to that, that's up to the judge. Like I said, we took from kind of January through the middle of the summer to get everything ready. The one thing about Wyoming is if you sue the government, you have to tell the government before you sue the government that you're going to sue the government. So we had to tell the government we were going to sue them, and then we sued them. So that took an extra couple of months to go through that whole process. So by the time we finally got the actual files submitted to the two defendants, that was October. And then there's a 60-day window where they get to respond to that, and then we get 20 days to respond to that, and then they get 10 days. That took us to a few weeks ago, or beginning of this month. So we're now at the point in the process, after 2 years, of having gone from property taxes to talking to the Department of Audit to going in front of a judge this coming Friday. And the government, we've learned through this process, has, what's the word I'm thinking of? They have kind of a standard reply when they deal with taxpayers or private citizens, and that basically says you have no standing. In other words, they're saying we as taxpayers don't have the ability to sue the government and say we want you guys to tell us how you are spending our money. The thing is, like, this is very unique in terms of what we're doing, how we've gone about it. So there's kind of some hope that actually what we're trying to do, there's some logic behind it. That's kind of the last 2 years. So on Friday, this motion, the other side gets the opportunity to say, we don't even want to hear this case. So the defendants get to go to the judge and say, taxpayers don't, or citizens don't have the right to look into this. This whole thing goes away. So on Friday, that's the first step of the process. The judge is going to talk to the defendants and to us. She's going to collect information. And based on that information, she then gets to decide whether or not she will hear it. Or whether she will dismiss it based on the motion to dismiss. So that's on Friday. I'm going to pause there before I talk about what's actually in the counts or in the actual petition. Any questions or comments on what I've got?
Where did you find a judge?
Since we're in Sheridan/Johnson County, it was either going to be Judge Kirvin or Judge Phillips. It was originally going to be Judge Kirvin, and then after we were told it was Judge Kirvin, we were then told probably sometime in November, I think, maybe it was early December, that it was going to be Judge Phillips.
Kind of a conflict of interest?
I think that may be one of the reasons why Judge Kirvin chose to maybe step away, would be my guess. I don't know what, if any, relationships you might have with the commissioners or with the Department of Audit.
So the defendants are the Department of Audit, the state, and the county.
The county commissioners.
So am I fair to then presume that you never then got an answer back about whether or not they talked to the Attorney General?
Correct. No response on that. What I can tell you is, earlier in 2024, I requested public records from both the Department of Audit and from the County Commissioner saying, send me all the correspondence you guys have had to each other. And I did them separate. I didn't send it both to the same. I sent it to them, and I sent it to the commissioners. And it's clear that there was no correspondence between the two to resolve anything in the correspondence. Mm-hmm. the Attorney General in August of last year sent us an email saying, I'm aware that the Department of Audit knows that there are issues in Johnson County and that the Department of Audit is working to resolve those issues. That's not a true statement that she sent back to us in that email.
Can you explain that?
I can only tell you what we have. I'm not going to explain it. I can tell you what we requested. We got nothing back.
Okay.
And she said there's work going on between the two to resolve any issues at the county level.
But they haven't shown any.
That's right.
So does will the judge know that?
Not on Friday.
So their only explanation is, as taxpayers, we just don't have a right to know. That's their only explanation.
If you, as I understand it, and I want to be very careful here, as I understand it, at least on this topic, if you can't prove that your taxes have gone up because of some issue on as it relates to this, then you have, then you haven't been negatively impacted.
Is it a standing issue, Chris? Is
it? It's technically called standing.
Standing.
Yep. It's motion to dismiss based on standing.
Yeah.
And so what's in here would say, well, no, there are some things that we have identified that actually, if they were taken away, our taxes could have gone down. Now, they may, you know, when you're talking about a $20 million budget, even if it goes down $100,000, $300,000, it's still money that can go to 8,000 people in this county. And that's per year, right? So it's not just a one-time thing.
But shouldn't any citizen of Johnson County be able to know exactly where every penny is being spent in our county?
Well,
I'm sorry, I'm trying to understand this.
And that's what's going to happen on Friday.
So was Chris, and that's how we got to where he's at.
That's right. That's
and understand that Johnson County has failed. How many audits now?
Well, on the issues we have, I mean, at least six or seven. Several of the counts. I mean, year after year after year after year.
Same.
And they even go into, you know, context of saying, well, we think that following GAAP accounting rules is esoteric, and, you know, basically implying that, you know, they're not, that doesn't apply to them or is not relevant.
Couldn't the taxpayer say, I want to know if that these areas where they failed in the audit might have affected my taxes, that wouldn't give us standing?
Yeah, so when it comes to our request of the government in this case, we just want the government to go in and do, one of the things we want them to do is what's called a forensic audit. Mm-hmm. Now the thing about forensic audits, and to be fair to all parties, I don't want a forensic audit that does everything. Because that's too much time, too much money. It's just, we're wasting everybody's time. We have a list of a handful of areas that we think should be looked at. So, I apologize. This is not just Amy and me. There's actually 11 plaintiffs in this argument. So there's 9 other plaintiffs that have signed on to this. If there's anybody here tonight that wants to read the 20-page document and sign the notary, or I can show up at the bank tomorrow and we can get a notary.
We have a notary tonight.
So we have a notary tonight. If anybody, my only request is you got to read this. You know, by definition, a notary, you got to read this, but. For getting notary, you got to read this. And if you want to read this and you want to sign on, we will take anybody who wants to be a part of this. And there's nothing more to it than that. Okay, so let me take you through the counts. And I'll try to do this real quick. Okay, so count number one, and this is only for the... So some of these counts apply to the commissioners. Some of the counts apply to the Department of Audit. Some accounts apply to both. This first one only goes to the commissioners. And this is actually something we found out about a little bit later as we were going through the process. So Wyoming Statute 16-4-105 talks about how cash reserves can be used at the county level. Cash reserves being money that the county has collected over time and they put in their cash account and it's just sitting over here doing nothing. So to give you context in Johnson County, like I said earlier, their general fund expenses are about $15 to $20 million per year. Their cash reserves in 2023, I didn't look at the end of 2024, at the end of 2023 there were more than $49 million. So they had $49 million sitting in their cash reserve account. 16-4-105 says that you're not allowed to use that. You're not allowed to use money out of the cash reserves except for very specific topics. And I'm not going to go through the list of topics. It's in the count. Bill Novotny in 2021 said we use money out of that cash reserve for health insurance increases and pension increases. And those are not allowed according to 16-4-105. So we said, you're not allowed to do that. That money either needs to come back, we've got to figure out what we're going to do about it. Like I said, it goes to a judge at that point. The next one is the board. And so the board violated 16-4-108 and the DOA violated 91507. You can't make an expenditure in excess of the total appropriation for that department. And there's year after year after year after year where the amounts were $49,000, $262,000, 2018. Transfers exceeded by $262,000 in 2019, $82,000 in 2020. So money was being spent beyond what was allocated. What was that money? Where did it go? Why did it go there? And that went from 18 through 22.
We don't know.
What's funny about this list, about these two violations, one by the county and one by the DOA, is it actually says in the audit, the county violated 16-4-105. I mean, it says those words. And when we were talking with the county last summer, Tucker Ruby came to us and said, no, our audits are clear. Yeah, his word was clear. And it's clear from the audits that there has been no violation of statute, even though the audit said you violated this statute. All right, so that's counts 1, 2, 3. Number 4, this is both the board and the defendant. So this starts to get into procedure. So this is how accounting works. There's a term called generally accepted accounting principles. And there's not, I can't imagine that there's a city or a state or a county in the country that doesn't follow generally accepted accounting principles. The county doesn't do that. They do what's called cash basis accounting. There's nothing wrong with it except Wyoming Statute 16-4-120 says you're going to do GAAP. And they don't do that. And that's where the county says, oh, well, we're just basically, you know, it's esoteric. We're going to kind of do what we want to do in response to that finding from the auditor.
So there's no accrual accounts?
Well, I don't.
Okay, never mind.
That's where I have to be careful because there's only so much information I can get exposed to through public record requests. Okay. You see what I'm saying?
Yep. Don't
worry. No. This is why we want a judge to look at these and say, somebody needs to look into these further to understand what's going on. Make sure I keep following this. So that's GAAP. There's also a part of 16-4-120, material audit adjustments, were required to present financial statements from being materially misstated in accordance with GAAP. Significant journal entries were required to correct the balances. Financial statements may include undetected errors and irregularities or omit information, which is important. This is probably one of my favorite ones. And this one is actually year after year. We recommend the financial staff attend training. The treasurer did not even know what an income statement was when I talked to them about giving me their income statements. Okay, so that was GAAP. So that's number four. Yeah, I mean, we list out all the accounts year after year that got that got significant journal entries. Okay, count number five. 16-4-123. 16-4-123, the director in times like this is supposed to go to the county and say, we want to see what's going on here. Show us what's called your working papers. We want to get to a lower level of detail. They never did that. So that's 16-4-123. Show us that you did. And these statutes are the director shall monitor. Right? These are not, if the director has time and is not, you know, doing something, maybe he could. These are, this is what you will do.
When this is your time. Job.
That's right.
This is job.
Okay, so let's talk. It's worse since I've got you. You're my audience for the moment. So the Department of Audit, the director has responsibility for 100 people. You would think the Director of Audit is all about tracking how money is spent, because there's a Department of Revenue that actually brings in the money. More than 60% of the Department of Audit tracks money that where companies give money to the government, so mineral companies in particular, or they track the distribution of funds around money from school districts going from one particular school district to another based on what the Wyoming laws are. So more than 60% is not even tracking money that's being spent. As a matter of fact, when you keep double clicking down the list, he has probably less than 10 people on his team that are responsible for tracking over 1,000 different government entities just in the small state of Wyoming. Government entities being special districts, counties, towns, etc. So he's got 10 people tracking more than 1,000 or so different projects or municipalities. Those 10 people don't have time to know what's going on. He even said in my meeting with him in August, he said the only time we actually ever follow up is if a private citizen maybe comes to him or if the Department of Criminal Investigation goes to him.
But he's not thinking.
Huh?
But he's not thinking.
Correct.
But it's too late then.
Correct. By that time it's too late. And so we're saying, hey, some things going on here. What are you doing to look at it? Never heard from him. Count number six. Wyoming has two different articles in its constitution about the distribution of money for charitable purposes. In 2021, there was a bunch of money that came through Wyoming from the federal government that went to local charities. There was $182,000 in charitable relief in fiscal year 2021. Technically, those are, we believe, are against the constitution, and something needs to be done with that money. What's interesting about those, where was it?
When the recipients identified?
Well, no, this is good. the county gathered and summarized costs that were allowable costs of the grant. However, the information that was summarized contained mathematical errors and incorrect information. The county contacted the charities and obtained verbal understanding that the charity was impacted by the pandemic and agreed to an amount of the charity's financial need. These are all in the audit. These are not things that I came up with. These are things that are in the audits. The charity was required to sign a certification that the funding was necessary to respond to COVID. However, the charity was not required to submit any supporting documentation to substantiate the expenses.
Nothing to see here. Move along.
Yeah. So this count is both on the charitable side and on the, where did that money really go? Who got it? What did they do with it? What was it used for? Things like that.
These are NGOs here in Johnson County, I suppose.
Well, it's not just unique to here. If I look at Sheridan County is the same thing.
Oh, there's that.
Yeah, Sheridan County is the same way. Okay, count 7 and 8, and I'm trying to be respectful of your time, so thank you for letting me go through these. So this 7 and 8 are very similar to the one that talked about 16-4-120, I think it was, which is around GAAP, and the procedures around GAAP, and specifically what the director of audit is supposed to do. Specifically, the director is responsible for making sure that the county and municipal officers follow the right mode of accounting. They did not do that. Count number 9, this goes both to the county and the DOA. They have to report their information, certain types of information within 3 months. They haven't been doing that. And then count number 10 is they're supposed to finish the audits within 6 months of the fiscal year. So they're supposed to finish them by December 31st. Johnson County doesn't submit their audits until February, March each year, so 8 or 9 months after the fact. So that's part of this process. So those are the counts. The charitable relief / COVID, the internal controls around the material weaknesses of accounting, and the $300,000 that Bill talked about in 2021, those are the ones where your money's really being, where how is it being spent? And then the other ones are, I'll call it more procedural, but still very specific to how is the county managing the money in general. The last thing I'll say, and then I'll really quickly close out on Friday, is there's a few other options or counts that we have the potential to go after beyond these that I'm not going to talk about tonight. And those are as more or more impactful than what you've seen here. But we're hanging on to those to figure out kind of what we're going to do and when we're going to do those. Friday, anybody who can be in Sheridan County Courthouse, 10:30, Friday morning. We prefer you get there at 10 o'clock. The more people who are in the courtroom, the better. It needs to be respectful. We're there to follow the judge's orders, etc. But anybody who wants to observe the process and follow it along, we would love to have as many people in that courtroom as possible. Like I said, 10:30 Friday morning. And again, it's only on the concept of motion to dismiss. So if you are able to join, it's going to be very legalistic and technical. It probably won't even get in to any of this. The judge is most likely just going to listen to the legal aspects of this part of the law, of whether or not we even have standing. And so you may hear things that you're like, why are we even talking about this? That's just a function of the process on Friday. But we'd love to have as many people in that room as possible.
I'm planning on going, and anyone can
recommend
me
to go.
Yeah. Friday morning,
it starts at 10:30, but I'd ask people to be there at 10.
Chris, do you know what judge?
It's Judge Phillips, Darcy Phillips. Yep.
In the courthouse.
In the courthouse, yep. I don't know specifically because I've never been there, but that's one of the reasons I want to get there early, is to make sure I find the right place.
Do you have the address?
It's the Sheridan County Courthouse.
Where are Maine
and Coffee.
On the hill. Up on the hill.
Yep, exactly.
Judge Phillips is the one that told Sheridan to Sheridan.
Yes.
Yes.
Okay, if there's anybody who wants to, if you can be there Friday, we would greatly appreciate it. If anybody wants to sign on as a plaintiff, after having read the motion, then I'm happy to do that this evening or tomorrow or whenever it's good for you.
Thank you.
So that's all I have.
Can we get a copy to take with us or order up somewhere?
Yep, so I have two extra copies. If anybody wants a copy, if I don't have enough, then send me your email and I'll send that tonight when I get home.
Who represents the commissioners? County attorney?
No. Yeah, so here's the interesting thing about who represents the county attorneys. Up into a certain point, they were representing themselves through the county commissioner, through the prosecuting attorney. And now they're being represented by a company out of Cheyenne. Which means we can use the county prosecutors as fact-based witnesses based on the interactions they had with the commissioners. Because they're not a part of the process.
So other than going on Friday and signing a petition, are there other things that regular folks can do to help you? Which ultimately I think would help all of us.
Sign the thing.
No, I mean, I said other than signing the petition and showing up Friday if possible, because there's some people at work, so they're not going to be able to help me. You know, so how else do you need
it's a great question. I'm going to give you an answer maybe you don't want now. I think for now, we are where we need to be. Now, if somebody happens to work in the county as a natural part of their process, if they see something that doesn't feel right, then raise your hand. But it's got to be above board. It's got to be honest. It's got to be the right way of doing things.
Truly, the most impactful thing right now would be signing a petition, because the more signatures on the petition just shows that there's more citizen support of looking into this.
Exactly. Yes, sir.
Two things. The address of the Sheridan County Courthouse is 224 South Main Street. And Darcy Phillips' courtroom is on the second floor. And then my question is, I can read that thing in no time. So I'd like to read it. I don't need a copy.
Yeah. Well, I think I've got your contact information.
You have my email.
Yep.
So Chris, it's Mitchell Edwards.
Have you heard of Mitchell Edwards?
Nicholas and Tangerman in Cheyenne. That's who the commissioners use your taxpayers to hire, your tax money to hire. And then tell them what if we do lose tomorrow.
Yeah, so let's say Friday, the judge says you don't have enough for standing. Then we will go to the Supreme Court and try our efforts there. So it's literally that simple.
And that's when we could probably use some help at that point. Let's keep everybody informed.
Yep.
What's your option then if you lose on Friday and you take the Supreme Court and you lose there? I assume you have other options you're going to pursue after that.
Well, like I said, there's still a few other counts to consider. And maybe we'll learn some things from this process that can be applied going forward. So that'd be number one. Number two, depending on... It's hard to answer that. I guess part of the answer is it depends on what Judge Phillips says. And depending on what she says, one option could be, okay, we go to the legislature and say, hey, you guys need to tighten up some of your laws a little bit. I'm being overly simplistic when I say that, but there may be some element of that in the process.
How strong do you believe that the charity and the money they got from the federal government and they misspent or didn't account for? How strong do you feel that count is?
Well, it's in the audit.
So doesn't that open the door? That's federal money. That opens the door.
You know, I think the biggest issue is the fact that they failed their audit for years and have done zero.
Let me talk about that. So again, this whole started with honest guy property taxes, and it evolved into where it is now. When I looked at this, I was like, okay, maybe this is just one time, one year. No, it was year after year after year after year. I didn't go before 2017. For all I know, it was 16, 15, 14, 13. For all I know, I just know from 17 through 23, we got a problem. The other thing I did is I went to nine other counties in in Wyoming, and I just looked at 1 year because I didn't have the time to look at everybody for everything. But out of those 9 counties, none of them had anything like this. One county had 1 year where they had internal control issues, but that, you know, things like that are going to happen. But if they happen year after year after year after year, that's a whole different issue. So the fact of those 9, that none of them had anything like this, and one of those 9 had one issue of internal controls, suggests that there's something here that needs to be looked at. And that's all we're asking for.
Be fixed.
Correct.
So what happens if the judge decides, okay, something's not right here? What happens then? Do they just get a slap on the wrist and, well, yes, you should? Like, what happens?
I was hoping nobody would ask me that question. No, it's the question I have. We honestly don't know because there's not really a precedent that we're aware of where this is what happened, this is what happened, right?
Breaking news around here.
There's a little bit of, trying to, you know, figure some things out that we're going to have to go through. Personally, not the other 10 plaintiffs, the judge said, I want a forensic audit in this area, this area, and this area. And if those uncover improprieties or things that just don't seem right or whatever, and then that begets an AG investigation, I'm happy.
Will the judge, like, let's say we all showed up on Friday, will the judge know that we're all there to support this, or will we look like just we're in there for another case, possibly, or waiting for?
I think it's 99.999%. She'll know that everybody's from Johnson County to hear about this. Because more often than not, there's 0 people in the room.
Okay.
And so if there's 30 or 40 people in that room, she's going to be like, what's going on? The other thing about Friday is, so our lawyer will be on Zoom, we're assuming the other 2 sets of lawyers will also be on Zoom because they're both down in Cheyenne. And according to our lawyer, it shouldn't last much more than 30 minutes. Basically, both sides are going to start to talk, and then it's likely that Judge Phillips will probably start asking questions along the way, and then it'll go into, you know, different directions. But if it goes much more than 30 minutes, I personally would be surprised, and, you know, since it's only 30 minutes, it doesn't make sense for them to come all the way up here for a 30-minute meeting. Yep.
One thing I would say, as far as what you can do to help, we did have 2 really great letters to the editor about this. In the Buffalo Bulletin, so things like that would help. Just trying to get it out to the press, because the press is
We
don't want to press.
So before we leave, if anybody wants to give me your if anybody wants to give me their emails, I'll send them the petition. You said something that just reminded me of something. Oh, you were asking what else can people do. If anybody knows a proper forensic auditor. We've dealt with some people. The interesting thing is they tend not to be engaged in talking with specific private citizens. They want to talk with a big company knowing that they're going to get millions and millions of dollars. But if anybody happens to know of a forensic auditor, that might help at some point. And it doesn't matter where they're from. It doesn't matter where they're from. Again, I feel, knowing my background and what I did, I feel very good about this. The moment you start getting into forensic audits, it's going to be a whole different topic. And so, you know, keep your eyes and ears open.
Sometimes they're called forensic accountants.
Yes.
We do have some information, but I've got food in the oven.
Yes.
So,
Okay. Get your food. Thank you for coming.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. You'll get through the floor then, or?
What's that?
You said you had some information for me. Did I hear that right? Did you?
Yes.
My brother's
yes.
A forensic accountant.
Oh, perfect.
He did the Northbridge earthquake.
So, Laura, I can
record.
Oh, yeah. He did the bombing.
the subway in New York,
okay,
and all that stuff.
Very good.
Okay.
Laura, so I can just forward your information then, is that okay?
Yeah, for the,
to Chris.
The petition.
Okay.
Yeah, we'll get it to you.
Yeah.
All right, awesome. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Anything else? Okay, thanks everybody, I appreciate your time.
This is 307 Net Info, connecting community.